Welcome to Remote Guys Night, the show where brothers distributed across the world come together over the internet to drink beers, tell stories, and exchange jokes. I'm Tyler Boucher, and with me tonight I have Brett and Josh Boucher, my two brothers. What are you guys drinking tonight?
This is Brett, and I'm actually pretty excited about my drink tonight. So I think one of you guys may have got this, correct me if you haven't, but it's a Not Your Father's Root Beer. It's the alcoholic root beer. Mm-hmm. I saw it today when I was at the grocery store. It's 6% alcohol.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, there's some alcoholic root beer right in front of me. Then I went over to the freezer section. I got some Tillamook vanilla bean ice cream. And I'm having a alcoholic.
Oh, nice.
root beer float.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty great.
You should have got rum-flavored ice cream or something.
Oh, that would have been smart.
I mean, I don't know what Tyler's drinking yet, but I'm thinking Brett might win tonight. But we'll see.
Pretty good. I drink kind of slow. So I had one pre-drink. Now I'm having this guy.
Nice.
So yeah, it's delicious.
All right, tonight I'm drinking a strawberry lemonade with, you know, it's got like a fresh strawberries, and then I've got a pineapple Kush vape pen to pair that with.
That's a good combo.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I've heard you say the pineapple Kush a few times. Is that like a favorite of yours, or?
Yeah, a favorite flavor. I only vape now. I just pick up vape cartridges, and that's the one I gravitate towards.
Cool.
Okay, I'm drinking a Hollows and Fentimans ginger beer, and I grabbed it, but I didn't know it's alcoholic. So it's like 4% alcoholic. Which, I mean, actually, you know, the funny thing is, the first time I ever drank a ginger beer, I didn't know anything about ginger beers, and I just assumed there was alcohol in it because it has the word beer in it. But come to find out, none of them are. But this one is. This one has 4%. It tastes like a slightly less good ginger beer because you have that alcohol taste. But
cool.
And hey, I'm getting a buzz off it, I guess. It's a pretty big bottle.
That's cool, though. It's like you're having an alcoholic root beer. I'm an alcoholic root beer. I'm an alcoholic ginger beer.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
All right, you got a joke for us tonight, Josh?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I got a couple here. I'm not sure which one. All right, so people are usually shocked when they find out I'm not a very good electrician. And then every day is bring your kid to work day in China.
Oh, topical. When you did the shock to be electrician joke, I was like, okay, like what's the punchline? Like why a long pause? Took me a good beat.
Yeah. Some are better than others.
Okay. So since we didn't do this last episode, and everyone's hanging on the edge of their seat.
Mm-hmm. Josh,
will you give us an update on Dinah Kitty? What happened?
Well, unfortunately, she did not make it. We spent a couple of days giving her fluids and trying to get her to eat and drink. And, I wish I had like some sort of silver lining or like something funny or anything in the story, but I really don't. She didn't make it. And like me and my wife, we were both kind of big babies. Like I even was surprised it bothered me as much as it did, but it was kind of hard, but we ended up making the decision to like put her down just cause she couldn't eat anymore. And she probably wasn't going to make it much longer anyways.
Yeah. It's a hard decision.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, you know, I mean, she was 13, you know, so she was a decent aged cat, and it was something that's really common that they get. It was a kidney issue. It's like a kidney disease, I guess, one of the top three things that get cats at an old age. So it was a common thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. I'm silly. How do the kids take it?
They did pretty good. They like at first when we were talking about it, we kind of talked about it, and then they kind of like went back to what they were doing, and we kind of thought it wasn't gonna bother them. But then after the fact, when we had talked, we did it like while they were in school one day, and we had to talk to them about it kind of after the fact, and they were both kind of upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
But so everybody was just kind of sad for a few days, and. Yeah, I don't, we've got a couple. There's a couple other cats and a dog in the house and stuff, and but so we got other animals around for everyone to pet and, you know, kind of help them feel better.
Yeah.
I you said there's nothing funny about it. I got something funny about it for you, Josh.
What's that?
So last week on the podcast, I was kind of like making jokes about it and stuff, and you know, I was laughing, and then of course, like a few days later, I'm on Instagram, and Josh posts like this super heartfelt like post on Instagram, and I was like, oh great, now I'm an asshole. Like you know, making jokes about it. So thanks, Josh, for making me look like an asshole.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Before we had this cat, I never really liked cats very much. And we ended up like getting her sister moved a few years back to Alaska, and she couldn't take the cat with her. And the cat came to our house, and I was like, no way, we're keeping her. You gotta drop her off at the, you know, the pound, or a shelter. And like, she wasn't able to find a shelter that was open. And I think I was like, all right, well, we'll keep her for a few days while we find another home. And then she just fucking, you know, weaseled her way into staying in the house.
Right. Right.
But the cat, man, I don't know. She was weird. She was really social, and she kept herself like immaculately clean. Like she was just always, she smelled good. She was always like, almost like a kitten or something.
Yeah.
She was just super clean all the time. And then the cat, man, we never pushed anything out. The cat loved pot. She would try to come into the room while me and the wife would be smoking. And she wanted to be around us while we were doing it.
Yeah, she was a cool cat. I mean, I'd have a ton of time around her, but yeah, she was always chill. And I don't like cats really either. So the fact that I enjoyed her company is, you know, says something.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, she was a good cat. So ended up, you know, by the time we had the time came to put her down and stuff, freaking it got to me pretty good. And then my wife freaking loved her, so it kind of crushed her. But it you know, it's been a couple of weeks now, and the freaking time helps. Everybody's a little better. And we've said there's a younger cat around here. I think he's kind of slowly weaseling his way around. He's filling the void with my wife.
Right. Yeah. All the other animals are getting extra attention.
Yeah. I'm kind of thankful they're around right now, because they're kind of helping out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I got some news.
Speaking of death, let's bring up some life.
Let's bring up some. For every death, there is a rebirth.
Yeah.
I got a puppy last weekend. So I've been wanting one for a while, and in the lease contract, I'm not allowed to have pets, but I'm actually kind of homies with my landlord, so like we chat and hang out sometimes. And anyways, they were going to buy a puppy, and his wife messaged us and was like, hey, these people fell through. That apparently there was like another couple that was going to get one of the brothers of the puppy they were going to get. And like, it fell through. Do you guys want a puppy? And we're like, it says in our contract we can't. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You guys can have it. It's fine. You guys are awesome. So we're like, okay. And so we talked about it like I think we rested on it for a night and then decided, yeah, we're going to do it. And we went and picked them up like one day later. They were like way out, way fucking out, bumfuck nowhere. Pendleton? Like, is that where the whiskey's made? Or is it just...
Yeah, maybe.
But it's... Anyways, Pendleton is the name of the town, but it's just like this town like way, way east of Portland. I drove for like 3 hours to get there and picked up the dog and then brought him back. He's a 8-week-old Vizsla, or kind of like a Weimaraner or like a hound dog. He's red. He's got like this red gold... and he's super, super fucking smart. Like I taught him, he's 8 weeks. I taught him to sit already. He's learning lay down. He knows how to use his kennel. He's like basically potty trained.
At 8 weeks?
Yeah, dude. Like he hasn't had any accidents. Well, that's not true. That's not true. He peed on me yesterday. Besides peeing on me.
Yeah, you pissed him off, to be fair.
It's tough for him when they're little too, like for just bladder control.
Yeah,
like the physical aspect of it.
Yeah, I think I was like pushing on his. We took him on a car ride, and I think I was like pushing on his bladder or something, holding him weird, you know. And I like got out of the car, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And he peed like right where I would have peed if I were to have peed myself.
So, like, so I just look like you pissed yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It was my dog. Yeah, your dog.
My dog peed my pants.
Yeah, my dog.
That's funny.
We used to say that like when we were in like high school and stuff, or just younger. If there was like an extremely unattractive person, to like show how attractive they were, we'd say, "I wouldn't hit it with my dog's dick."
Jesus.
Oh my god. Anyways, sorry. Continue. What were you saying, Brad?
Oh, I was just saying, Pendleton, Oregon, when you brought that place up, it sounded familiar. They have like a huge rodeo there. It's like nation renowned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it is Pendleton whiskey. That's where it's from as well.
Oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, it's like
Pendleton Roundup.
You hit Hood River and you just like keep going another 2 hours, and then it's Pendleton.
Yeah, it's like a dinky little town. I can't believe they have a giant rodeo there.
Yeah, I actually just drove through there for the first time recently, going over to Idaho. It's right there before. I think it's kind of right before you start kind of climbing in the mountains, like to cross over into Idaho. It's like the last like stop. It's where everybody gasses up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was actually, I hit E when I was like driving out on that highway, and I was like, oh fuck, like I don't even know. There's just like long stretches with nothing, you know? So like, I don't even know where the closest gas station is, but luckily
there I found is. Some. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's where you pick them up.
Yeah. It's cool. I don't know. Oregon's a weird state because like everything's right up against the coastline. Once you leave the coastline, it's just nothing out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very weird. But yeah, enough about Oregon.
His name is Crypto.
Crypto? Oh, that's yeah. Cool. I dig.
Uh-huh. With a K though. With a K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's such a cool name.
Yeah.
That's such a cool name. After I was cryptocurrency,
name him,
right?
Yeah, I was gonna name him Cash. Like Johnny Cash and Money and whatever else. I just thought it was a cool name. And then I told Brooklyn, our sister, and she's like, that's stupid. Everyone does that name. Like, do something fun. And I was like joking, because I was like Cash, and then I was like Crypto is a form of currency or cash or whatever. And I was like, I'll call him Crypto. And she's like, oh, that's great. And I was like, oh shit, okay. And then I said it a few times. I was like, actually, that's a pretty good name. And yeah. And then I looked it up, and it's actually Superman's dog's name, because Crypto, Kryptonite.
Oh, cool. Really? That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Why would you name your dog after the thing that can kill you?
Well, it's also the name of his home planet. Oh, no, Krypton, I guess, actually.
Krypton. Yeah, yeah.
Kryptonite. Lots of crypto.
I think, isn't like Kryptonite like the core of his home planet?
Yeah.
Something like that. That sounds right. Which is very weird. The core of your home planet is what kills you.
Yeah. That's weird. Let go. Yeah. Why would you live on that planet?
Yeah, wouldn't that be the thing that like heals you? I mean, just talking crazy. Just some crazy options here.
Yeah.
Right.
Superman's stupid. Okay.
Yeah, like his story, like he's the most badass DC character, but I mean, like his backstory doesn't. It's weird. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's pretty much Goku, but not as cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, they send him off. I wonder, did you think they stole the Superman?
Oh, they totally probably did.
Right?
I just realized that. We're talking about Dragon Ball Z for all the listeners at home that have no fucking idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, they do the same thing. Like, their home planet gets blown up. The dad sends the son off in a spaceship to Earth. Goku, Superman's exact same story.
Yeah, exact same story.
Oh.
Goku's super powerful and yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's all the same.
But for some reason, they both look like humans.
Yeah. Except for Goku has a tail.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
That he got cut off when he was a kid.
Yeah, like a monkey tail.
It's like, yeah, it's like a hairy tail, too. It's weird. It's like his whole body is not hairy, but he has a hairy tail. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Now you're an alien. You just get a human, put a hairy tail on him, you're an alien. Done. Artistic license complete. But yeah. Well, you know, speaking of other worlds, I went to Nepal.
Yeah, fucking A. I mean, yeah. Pretty spot on.
Yeah. So continuing our trip talk, after China, I took off. Actually, Tyler and Brian stayed in China a little bit longer than I did. Or sorry, not China, Thailand. And then I went to Nepal, and my primary purpose in Nepal was to go trekking around Everest. So I flew in there. I flew into Kathmandu. I just spent like a day there. And honestly, the whole thing, like my day in Kathmandu, was just prepping for my trek. Because there's like little things that I had, like a list of things I had to buy, like that he get super cheap. He like super cheap was what?
Was Kathmandu the airport? Did you tell him about the airport?
Oh, no. No, Kathmandu is like the capital city. That's where you like fly into. And then you fly from Kathmandu to the area where we went trekking.
Okay, so wait, how long did you spend in Kathmandu?
It was just like a day and a half, maybe 2 days tops total.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very short time.
How big is that place, like population-wise?
It's pretty big. I'm looking it up now. I think it's around like a million or so. Oh, it's 1.003 million. I was pretty spot on.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
Like exactly 1 million. Yeah,
it's pretty much. Okay, so that's a big place.
Exactly. Man. Yeah, it's big. It's a big city. It's an interesting city. I'll talk about it now because I went back there too. But I might as well just talk about like Kathmandu there now because I actually ended up spending like a total like 4 days in Kathmandu because I had a lot of days when I got back from my trek. In Kathmandu, because you want to leave extra time when you're flying out of the Everest region, because your plane flights can get delayed for like days because of the weather.
Did you spend extra time there too? Because so Brett booked a flight. I don't know if it was to or from Kathmandu or whatever. And the airline, correct me if I'm wrong here, Brett, that you booked a flight with closed down after he had bought the tickets.
Yeah. So this.
Really?
Yeah,
I think I heard about this on Twitter. Like so, some people.
My flight home from Kathmandu was through Jet Airways, and while we're in Thailand, I get emails like, your flight has been canceled. And so, like, I'm trying to call them up, and I was on hold for 3 hours trying to call them. They didn't tell me, like, your flight was canceled. They didn't say your flight is canceled because we closed our airline down. It's just your flight was canceled. End of story. So I look it up, and it turns out it's because the airline closed down. And so I'm like, fuck, the airline closed down. So literally went out of business, just done. So I was like, first of all, like, am I going to get a refund?
Yeah, right.
And right. Second of all is how the fuck am I going to get home? Right?
All right.
So I had to buy a ticket to fly me from Kathmandu back to Oregon. I think, what, like 2-3 weeks before I'm at the flight? So, like, I didn't have too many choices. My flight home was 30 hours long, and it didn't start until, like 8 or 9 p.m., like, in the evening. So, like, my whole travel home was just a fucking disaster. Like, I got no sleep. It was, like, it couldn't have been worse. I literally had two babies crying on me on my longest part of the flight. I slept, like, not at all. But anyways, it was a whole debacle, and it cost me way too much fucking money. But I didn't have a choice. Like, I was just like, oh, put it on the credit card. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
how it has to go.
You're up
yeah.
to blood when it happens.
Yeah, I'm like, I have to go. I have to get home. I have to go back to work. So, and then luckily, though, I was able to get a refund. I got screwed out of, like, a little bit of money. I think it ended up being, like, $50. I didn't really, like, calculate it out exactly, but it was, like, around, like, $50. But it was, like, service fees and stuff that I didn't get back. So, but I did get a refund, which was nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's shitty. They didn't give you the service fees back?
No.
Like, well, we did do the service of typing your name into the computer.
Yeah. Well, I think I also paid, like, an Expedia service fee, too. So, they're like that.
Oh, yeah.
As well. But, yeah, I got screwed. But it ended up being okay. I just ended up having to spend some freaking money, which sucked, to get it, make it happen. But luckily, our flight to China was so cheap that it didn't – overall, it probably wasn't too bad.
Well, so what's Kathmandu, the city, like?
The Kathmandu, the city, is interesting. It's like – it's the city itself is very old. It's they have tons of like really old like temples and stuff just right in the city. Like you'll be like walking down and you'll be like, yeah, that's 1,000 years old. That's, you know, 400 years old. That's, you know, just like all over the whole city.
Right.
And it was actually devastated not too long ago by a really bad earthquake. So there's a lot of like these old cool temples that are actually just in our piles of bricks now. And this earthquake happened not too long ago. It was like 2016.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. So that's kind of sad.
What's a bar like in Kathmandu?
Let me tell you the first part is like, it's a big city, but like to give you an idea of what it's like, it was the poorest place I had been the whole time I was traveling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I would say it's on par with, if not a little bit lower than, Cambodia. Like all the streets are like dirt for the most part. There's very few little actual like, paved streets. There's, you know, the city itself, like the people are actually really cool, really nice, really kind. Apparently their crime rate's really low, and like how their culture is, it's all about like being like friendly and nice.
We're still in like a much bigger area, right? We're not to your like remote stuff yet. No.
So this, can you imagine growing up in a place with dirt roads and like, no, I mean, rubble in the streets because of earthquakes. Man, it's fucking crazy. It makes you like appreciate where you were born. Like we fucking lucked out. Lucked out hard.
Oh, dude, it lucked out way hard. Yeah. It is so nice here. Like, yeah, I mean, and there's just like, you know, there's a lot of like trash and stuff like that. Like even like there's this like canal that goes to the city, and there's just like this pipe that went out in the canal and it was just dumping sewage.
So, and you could smell it.
It's crazy, right into the canal that flows to the middle of the city. Right? It's just, that's just how they do it. That's just how they do it.
Right. And it's like medieval times. You just like dump the waste into the poor people's area.
Yeah.
Like, they can deal with it.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, and then the population's only 1 million, but the pollution is just terrible. Right? Just the smog is just terrible, because, you know, there's just no regulations on like, you know, cars and like, or like businesses or any of that stuff. So it's just,
oh, it's really bad there, the smog.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, like it's you can look at the sun like you're in China kind of thing.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad there. There's one thing's cool though is I like went to this place called the Monkey Temple when I was there, and you get there like really early and you like hike up this like this super steep staircase that goes up to this this big hill on the top, and they have a whole bunch of temples. They have like a bunch of like Buddhist temples and Hindu temples, just like crowded with temples on the top, and there's monkeys. So like I went up there and like I fed monkeys, like hand fed the monkeys. I had like a lot of fun doing that, and I stayed at a hostel, so like I met some friends, and we went up there like that, like a morning monkey temple walk. It's funny, even the locals call it the Monkey Temple, so like I don't remember what the real name is, but everyone's like, the Monkey Temple. But yeah, so we did the Monkey Temple. I mean, that was actually a blast. A lot of young people there too that, you know, are traveling cheap, you know, because they don't have a lot of money, and so they kind of stay there. It's like that, and the monkeys are fun. The monkeys are actually super friendly too, so I know that's weird to say, but like they're actually like really nice. So I was talking to some other people, understand like, yeah, they're like the monkeys in other places are like really mean, but these monkeys for whatever reason are actually like really nice. It's like part of the monkey culture. And there's all these also stray dogs, and they're like in these big packs and they're like roaming around, and they fight with their other packs, and like, and they also like fight with the monkeys, but the monkeys are higher up in the totem pole than the dogs are. It's just like sort of like this weird recognized. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of weird, like seeing the wild but inside the city. It was odd but cool. Yeah, and also like, I don't know, I explored the city. You got Tari, asked what a bar was like.
Oh yeah.
So like it's very conservative society. It's not like Cambodia or Thailand where you have like a big like sex culture and partying and all this. Like that doesn't really exist there.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's, it's super conservative.
Yeah.
And so like I don't think women even really go out to like bars. Yeah. So like you'll like see like guys drinking in groups, but that's it. And then besides that, if you go to bars, like the only like really scene you see like people like drinking and hanging out is tourists.
Okay.
Especially like mixed groups of like women, men and women. So
yeah.
Otherwise,
but like pretty standard, like would it look like the inside of a bar here in the States or?
No, everything's just built like really ramshack. Like it's like it. it's like they just build things without really much of a plan to it. There's no real building codes, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like everything's just kind of like a little nook in the wall where people like carve out their own little space.
Right.
Every once in a while you'll go to an area where there's like a nice building or something like that, and there'll be like a nicer, more upscale place. But then it's gonna have, you know, much higher prices, of course.
Cool. Yeah. So you got like some cantina dive bar places you can holes in the wall you can go get a drink at.
Yeah, yeah. But usually for the most part, I mean, like honestly, like all the everyone's there, like even, and there's not even like a ton of bars. Like most of the bars are targeted towards tourists.
Yeah.
Most like the local places, it's like a restaurant that you can get a beer at, you know?
Yeah.
It's like both. So, yeah. It's cool that I bought a silk rug when I was there. For like way cheaper than I can get it in the States. Because they like hand make them there. And then I also bought like a cool painting that I was able to get for pretty cheap. Just some stuff that I could all fit in, so I decided to carry on. Besides that, though, I just kind of like checked out the city. It was a cool city. But after my first day...
You fit a painting and a silk rug in your carry-on?
Yeah, the silk rug was able to fold up pretty...
That doesn't sound possible at all. Yeah.
Well, I remember I went trekking, right? So, like, remember I gave, like, you and Brian a bunch of stuff before I left?
Still.
I had, like, almost no gear.
I couldn't even fit a painting and a rug with no other items in a carry-on.
Hey, wait.
I'm confused here.
The silk rug gets actually very thin, and it folds up to the size of like two textbooks stacked on top of each other.
Okay. Yeah. And then what about the paint? It's just a small painting?
Well, this painting was, I had it in just like, it was rolled up in a cardboard tube. So I just it wasn't framed.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Or sitting like a big throw rug.
Yeah.
Just like a big, like you'd hang on a wall, like portrait.
It was a shag rug and a 1 foot by 1 foot
painting. What kind of Mary Poppins bag did you bring?
Tiny man and no bags.
Yeah, shit.
But yeah, so when I was the first day and a half I was there though, I didn't like really get to explore the city at all. It was just pure business. Just like find out where to go buy the stuff I need for my trek, because I was getting ready to go trekking and I'll be gone in the Everest region for 8 days. So what I did is just got like a bunch of like fucking snack food, like candy bars. I got like a thing of peanut butter, like some cookies, and then just like stuff I can like that I can snack on there, because the food is a lot, like especially stuff like Snickers bars are a lot more expensive once you're out on the trek. And then I just got like some basic stuff that I need, like a water bottle, a sleeping bag liner. You actually don't need a full sleeping bag. They have this really cool culture in their hiking culture, because there's so many trekkers there. The locals set up all these things called tea houses. But what they are is they're actually just like little places where you can get a bed and food. And like when I say bed, it's like they'll literally get like plywood and like they make like these shacks effectively with like these little tiny rooms with just like a really hard shitty mattress and like some blankets that have never been washed even once. They're disgusting. But what you do is you just get a sleeping bag liner and you sleep in the sleeping bag liner and you put those blankets on top of you, so you're in your clean sleeping bag liner with those nasty blankets on top of you, and then you can get food too, and it's all pretty cheap. Like the higher up you go, the further away you get from like the airport, the more expensive things get. But even when you're like, even when I was like at Everest, like at the Everest base camp area, it was still like you could get like a meal for like $5, and that was like the most expensive. So it's still all pretty affordable. And so when you're hiking, you don't actually need to carry a lot of weight. So it's because you don't need food, you don't need a sleeping bag, you don't need a tent, you don't need any of that shit. You just bring like your clothes and like some first aid stuff and the other bare minimums, and that's it. And you can hike. So it's I don't know, it's awesome. I loved it. But so I went to the airport and I flew into the most dangerous airport in the world. It's called Lukla Airport. The landing strip itself is on like an angle, so you're landing on an uphill and then you take off on a downhill, and then it's just like a cliff at the end of the freaking runway. So yeah, and I remember when we flew in, we're like flying in, we land, and we're like going up the runway, and we passed a crash plane that's just like right off the side of the runway. They like crashed recently.
Well, I'm glad
you had time to take them.
Glad you're still able to do the podcast with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, and my flight was delayed like a little over an hour, but luckily I was able to get out there. So that was a little nerve-wracking, so because I hear horror stories, people's flights getting delayed like 4 or 5 days. Because once you like miss out on your flight, then you have to, then you're like put on the waiting list. And then when you're on the waiting list, like they, everyone who has tickets still gets to do their flights. And if there's any room, they get those people on. It's like a, or if they can get extra flights on a certain day, they will. But anyway, so I was able to get out there, and the whole time I had 8 days for this trek, and I didn't plan the trek until like the end of me planning my trip. So it's kind of like a last minute thing where I bought the ticket to go to Kathmandu from Thailand. And I didn't really have enough time to do what I wanted to do, which was to get out to Everest Base Camp, I'm going to say, but really Kalapatar, which is like this peak right next to Everest Base Camp. So it's higher than Everest Base Camp. That's what I really wanted to do. But it was like everything online, it says it's a 14-day trek. And like some people saying like, oh, I did it in 12 days or 10 days or whatever, but I had 8 days. And so I was like, okay, there's no freaking way I'm going to do it. Even if I hike my ass off, I'll get altitude sickness. That's my fear. Also, right. I have a blood disorder. For all the listeners out there, I have a high red blood cell count. Like I'm like right at like the limit of what's allowable. So when I'm at home, I will give blood a lot of times, like once a month to keep my red blood cell count. That's like effectively my medication.
What? I didn't know that.
You didn't know this?
No, I didn't know that's what how you like kept it. I thought they just like gave you some meds or I don't fucking know, but I had no idea. So you give blood once a month?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's kind of cool. Because yeah. you're doing some charity for your medication. That's pretty
hard. And also like having a higher blood cell count isn't bad for you. It just makes your blood a little thicker. And like theoretically, I'd be like more prone to having heart disease later in life. So okay. Keeping my red blood cell count is like better for like just later in life, you know what I mean?
Right.
So right. I intentionally didn't give blood though before I left on this trip because I wanted my red blood cell count to be higher. And I actually talked to my hematologist about this, and I was like, so like I'm going up to high altitude, like what's gonna happen? Like, do I need to be worried about this? And more or less he said like one of two things could happen, and I was really hoping one of these two things, that this is kind of what I thought going in, I was really hoping that's what he's gonna say. But the one's bad, not bad. He said, your red blood cell count could go even higher, and that would be very bad. And, like, here's some symptoms you should watch out for.
Okay.
And then he said, or two, your red blood cell count's already high, so you might have, like, plenty of oxygen, like, for your brain, your muscles, and your body, and you'll be okay. And, like, you'll be fine, effectively. Like, you'll be good at altitude. So I remember flying on my trek, like my first 2 days of hiking, I had planned out. And I was like, okay, like when I land, I'm going to go. And if I get to the day one endpoint, like I'm just going to keep going and see how far I get the first day. And I'll really feel out my body and see how I feel and stuff. So I ended up, and I thought maybe I could get a little further, you know, towards my second day goal. The first day I landed, I just like started hiking right away. Didn't even wait. You know, just right after I got my plane, grabbed my bag and just started hiking. And I got, from the Lukla airport, and which is the town of Lukla as well, to Namache Bazaar, which is like the hub, in 1 day. And that was like a 10-hour day of hiking. It was very tiring, and I went from I increased in elevation by about 600 meters, which I'm getting that in feet for you guys. So that is 2,000 feet. So I did 2,000 feet of elevation gain. It's actually, I think a little more than that. Actually might have been 700 meters anyway, but yes. So I did that in day one. So I was pretty happy about that. My body felt like fine. So I felt good. I got the Namache Bazaar, and you're supposed to spend 2 days in Namache Bazaar, like resting. So the next morning I was like, okay, I'll do a day hike. So I did this day hike, to this place called Fame. And before I get started on that, I guess I'll kind of explain Namache Bazaar because it's actually a really cool area. It's like this big like horseshoe shaped area like in the side of the mountain, and you have these humongous just snow peak mountains all around you, but you're below the snow line in the town. And the town itself is like really neat because it's like there's like multiple directions you can go from there, and it's called Namache Bazaar because they used to use it for trading with Taiwan, I believe it was. Anyway, so they use it as like a trading hub. It's not a trading hub anymore. Now it's just like a backpacker's hub. So where everyone goes and they spend multiple days here to rest before they continue up in elevation. And it's pretty high up. It's at 3.4 kilometers. And in miles, that is, or in feet, it's 2 miles. It's over 2 miles, 2.1 miles, or 11,000 feet. So I woke up there and I went on this trip called the Thame Day Trip, which is like a popular like day trip. I remember my book, it was like for the most ambitious day trip for an Amache Bazaar is like the Thame Day Trip. I was like, well, that's what I'm doing because I hate myself apparently. So it was another long day of like 8 hours of hiking, but it was some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen in my entire life. Like it's like almost hard to describe. You know, I was going along like this river. You like go up into the woods, like these beautiful pine forests, and you go back down to these little villages. And like what the people do there, they have all these monasteries, just tons of monasteries all over the place. And I think it's the monks and the nuns in the monasteries. I'm not quite sure, but anyways, they first of all, they carve these stone tablets, and they'll make so many of them. There'll be thousands of them, and they'll just pile them up on the side of the where you're walking. And they'll also get like these huge boulders and stone walls that are all over the place. And they'll carve these giant letterings. It's like scripture or something into the side of these stone walls. And they paint them. And then they build like, I don't know, they're like you'll be walking, you know, down the dirt path. You know, it's all dirt. It's, you know, every once in a while there'll be areas where they're stoned. They'll even like do like little stone staircases or areas where they'll actually like, well, you call hiking on this long side of the mountain. And they'll carve staircases in the mountain. And you'll be, that's like a hiking trail, because all these trails are their roads. There's no cars. It's everything's transported by ox and donkeys. So or yaks, I should say. I call them ox, they're yaks. But I was hiking along this path, and they're just like, you'd have like these, they build these cool like gates, like you go like almost like a little house or hut, you like walk through them. And they have these prayer flags all over like the hillsides, like going way up into the hills, up into the snow. And there's like all these carved rocks. It's like when you play like a video game, is the best way I can describe it. How like everything's so dense. You know what I mean? Like there's like the characters, the people, like wherever you go in the woods in the video game, there's like something you can interact with. You know what I mean? That's right. What it feels like. It's like there's all these like interactable, like interesting things. I mean, if there's a river, they don't just build a bridge over the river. They build a bridge over the river. And there's also a little hut that's actually built over the river. It's like a stone hut that they built over the river too, like right next to you. And you're just like, this is fucking crazy. It's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So I did that hike.
Much slower pace of life.
Oh, yeah. I think you have time to do that kind of stuff.
I just opened my Instagram and Joe Rogan posted. This is so coincidental. It's an Everest post.
I see that post.
On May 29th in 1953, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay became the first people to officially summit Mount Everest. In May of 2019, it's May right now. In May of 2000, 10 people so far have died because so many people climb Everest now that there's traffic jams getting to the top. Yeah, and like Josh is saying, it's an unbroken line
going off. There's a picture. Yeah, that photo is nuts.
Like, are people trying to come down that same way that people are going up? Can you imagine, like, trying to, like, all right, you're on this, like, tiny little ridge, and you're like, okay, all right, let's switch.
Totally.
I know, people. Like, what do? You hold people and do a 180, and you just do that, like, with everybody?
Yeah. 10 people this month died. That's fucking crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, I've been following that. I saw this other thing. There's a peak right next to Everest called Lhotse, and I follow the mountaineering on Reddit. And some people post on there, and they said they got to the top, but they didn't summit. They didn't get to the peak because it was so crowded. They said it wasn't worth it, like even try to get on the peak because it was so crowded. And they turned around, and they were also saying that it was like because there's so many people that don't know what the fuck they're doing up there, and they're in this huge line.
Extra dangerous.
Yeah, they say it's going extra slow. They say it's impossible to summit a lot of these peaks without oxygen, because if to do without oxygen, you have to get up and down fast before you fucking die. And so they're saying like they can't even do it without oxygen because it's just too slow because of the people in front of you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. They should have, I mean, some kind of regulation, right? Like amount of people that can go per day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's shitty.
I'm gonna encourage you guys real quick to Google Thame, Thame Monastery. So this is the place I hiked to. Thame, like T as in Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Thame, Thame Monastery. That's the place I hiked to that day. It's like this little monastery they built up on the side of this mountain.
It's also a town in England.
Also a town in England. Did not know
that. Oh, yeah. Thames. Yeah.
Okay. Thame, Nepal.
Yeah.
Thame Monastery.
Yeah. You'll see some photos of the monastery with like the first things you see in like Google Images. If you look in Google Images.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Look in Google Images. Yeah. It's that's the place I hiked to on the first day. It was actually beautiful, and it's actually quite a bit of elevation gain from where I started. Kind of gives you an idea of like what the mountains and stuff look like in that region. It's really cool hike. The monastery was awesome. I got to see a lot of cool towns and other monasteries on the way. They have these rope bridges that are really cool. You're just like way the fuck up on like these swinging rope bridges. It's actually a blast. But it was beautiful. That was day two. I'm gonna sit on blast through the rest of the days, honestly, though. The next day, I'll also stay another day in Namche Bazaar. I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna keep going. I'm just gonna listen to my body and just pay attention to see if I have altitude sickness symptoms. And I blasted all the way through up until day five. I was actually getting pretty close to were my endpoint effectively, and I was starting to get it was really cool too, because like I went from being like this area where there's like trees and bushes and stuff to all of a sudden like you break out and you're like, oh, I'm just in the mountains now, like there's nothing alive out here, there's like glaciers, these huge like glacier fields that you're hiking next to, and like you start to see like you'd be like hiking along, also see like all the yellow tents, and it's a base camp for some mountain that a bunch of people are climbing, because you're just like you're hiking past base camps for mountains. And I got up to this little tea house. It was just a ways, like quite a ways away. Actually, it's still like another kilometer of elevation gain to Everest Base Camp. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna sleep here, and the next day I'm gonna hike up to the next town. Then I'll sleep there, and then I'll go to Everest Base Camp on the seventh day. Or sorry, it wouldn't be the seventh day because I had to get back. I miscalculated here. It must have been like the. It was this that yeah, I get up there on the seventh day. That's why I had 9 days to get back. 9 days total, not eight. Anyways, so it was the sixth day though, and I started hiking. And I got to my next point like really early in the morning, because I started hiking like first thing in the morning. It, actually, when I woke up, I couldn't even pay for, you know, my room because the people weren't awake yet that ran it. So I have a room, I started hiking. I got to my next point and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna keep going. And I'll just come back down and rest here again, because because you want to hike high and rest low. And I'd already been pushing the hiking schedule like a lot at this point, but my body felt fine. And you're only supposed to do 500 meters elevation gain a day. So I had just done 500 meters. There was another 500 meters elevation gain to the endpoint. I hiked, and anyways, I got to the freaking endpoint. I went all the way up to Gorik Shep, which is the original Everest Base Camp. And I got there, and it was like still like late morning, early afternoon. I checked in, dropped my bag off, and I was like, I'm going to go fucking do Kalapatar. So I checked in, got a room for my bag. And anyways, my roommate was doing the same thing. He just got there too. He's like, let's go do it. So I did it with my roommate, and I was like feeling fine, except for the last like, I don't know, like 60 feet getting up to Kalapatar, which is at 5.6 kilometers. Which is, let me do it miles for you guys, is 3.5 miles, elevation, and in feet, that is, 18,000 feet. So like the last little bit of that, I was like crawling, like it was just so exhausting. But I got to the top, and it's just like, you hike up one side, it's like a steep hike. It's like 45 degree angle, steep hike, maybe a little less than 40, maybe like more like 30. And the other side is just a straight drop. It's like a long fucking ways down. So I'm sitting up on this rock at the very top, like just like, and it's all getting all windy. And I'm like screaming in the wind. Like Mount Everest is right there. And you're just surrounded by all these mountains. And you're in this beautiful valley. And you can see Everest Base Camp down below you. It's like way down below by near the base of where this big glacier where people hike up to go up to Everest. And it was fucking awesome. I took a couple rocks with me. So I have some rocks from up there. One of the cool things too was when I was digging around to find the rocks, there's all like these like letters in like little tubes and like bottles of whiskey with like letters and stuff written on them and stuff. I'm assuming like, you know, for people leave them there for like, you know, dead friends or whatever. That's what I guess most of them are for. And after that, I like hiked back down and I started my journey back, which is also fun. Like I took a different way back, saw a bunch of cool monasteries, like how the people live up there. It's really neat. I don't know, I could talk about it a long time, but I'm trying to go through it in a reasonable amount of time. But yeah, after that, I went home. I went back to the airport, which took me another 3 days. And then it's much faster going down, although it fucking killed my knees. I'll say, like, physically, it was harder to go down than up in a lot of ways. Like it was more physically, like, breaking on my body going down. But going up was like, hard, you know, more difficult, like, just endurance-wise. But and I went down fast and I went back to Kathmandu. And yeah, it was a blast. I love the hike. I love being out in the woods. It was one of the cooler places I've ever been. I would love to go back and hike in a different area around there because they have that tea house culture. It's really neat. I actually met a bunch of cool people over there. And one guy I met, he's actually still there now hiking. I see all of his posts on Instagram. He's still going. He said he's gonna be there for like a couple of months.
Is he just doing different hikes or is he gonna like head to Everest or what's the deal?
There's tons of different hikes. There's like tons of places to go see. You can actually keep going higher up. They have like, yeah, there's a bunch of really cool stuff. There's a lot to see there. Yeah. It's really cool. But yeah, so he's still hiking. So some people even like leave and like come back to Kathmandu and rest for like a little while. And they'll go out again to like another area. There's another area called Annapurna, which is actually more visually beautiful from what I understand. It's a really cool place to go and hike. So it was way cool. I could see myself going back and doing some more hiking one day just because, like I was saying, you have that tea house culture. It allows you to, like, you can't do that anywhere else in the world that I know of where you can hike like that.
Right. That's really cool. Makes it really convenient.
Really convenient.
Well, it's like a huge industry there, right? Like, because they're so poor that, like, having that Western money come in for the hiking tourism is like a big deal.
Yeah, that's where like all their money comes from. All those towns, effectively, is people hiking, trekking. So, pretty neat.
That's way cool, man.
Yeah, definitely. I had a great time. It was super fun, and it was cool. I'm actually glad. At first, I didn't want to go alone, or I was a little bummed that I was going alone. But the pace that I went at, I don't think anyone would have been able to keep up. And I mean, like, even like I was like, while I was hiking up near Everest Base Camp, like I like start hiking next to someone for a little bit and I'd be like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, oh, I'm going to go climb Everest. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like I chat with them for a little while and then I'd be like, well, you're going kind of slow. So like, like I'm going to pass you. Like, and they'd be like out of breath and I'd be like, fine. So I'm just like a badass at altitude, apparently. It's like a hidden talent I never knew I had. So
nice. Maybe your blood disorder did help you.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
Yeah, you're like Superman as soon as he leaves Krypton and comes to Earth. High altitude's like your Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just thought it through in my head, like what days are where I stopped where. And I made it to Kalapatar on the fifth day. And then I had 3 days to get back. It was 8 days total. I had a night. I left the morning of the ninth day, but I was already at the airport by the time I got there. So yeah, it was 5 days. I did it in 5 days. And getting back, I had an extra day, so it was 7 days total round trip, which is fast. So yeah, it actually is funny. I remember like when I was back at Lukla, I was like chatting with some people, and they're like, yeah, they didn't make it to like Everest Base Camp. They had like 14 days, and I was like, oh, I did it in seven. Like, you guys are weak. But and they're like young people too, so I don't know how the hell they didn't make it, but it all worked out pretty well for me, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Dude, awesome, man. That's way cool. That's definitely a fucking cool experience.
Yeah. Well, I got a would you rather for us, guy, that's related for you guys, that's related to the trip. So I don't know if you're ready for it, if you guys want to play.
Sure.
All right. Shoot. So the theme for this game of would you rather is hot cross buns. Okay. So would you rather be forced to eat Chinese dumplings? And Josh, you're probably going to need to, like, you know, get me and Tyler's experience on this and be helpful. Would you rather be forced to eat Chinese dumplings, at least four of them, for breakfast every morning for the rest of your life, or never be able to eat before noon again for the rest of your life?
Or never be able to what was the last one?
Can't eat any food before noon for the rest of your life. So effectively no breakfast the rest of your life ever again.
Okay.
I mean, I think I could... I don't think I could skip breakfast the rest of my life.
You have but four.
Fuck yeah.
Four Chinese dumplings.
Damn, Brett. I guess I could just make up for it and eat like extra meals after lunch.
Okay. Speaking up from a place of ignorance, I have no experience about the Chinese dumplings, but I skip breakfast every day. I rarely don't eat before noon. So that one's kind of an easy one for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, the occasional breakfast, I definitely miss the occasional, like, bomb breakfast, but I could give up breakfast.
Yeah, I think I could, too. I mean, I don't want to, but I don't want to eat. Honestly, I don't want to eat anything.
Well, I'm guessing
every morning, you know?
Pretty rough.
Yeah, me and Tyler, when we were in China, we brought it up, I think, on the podcast before, but... you know, for breakfast every morning, we come out and they have like all these vendors like selling these freaking Chinese dumplings. They're fucking delicious. So we go out and we get like four bags of them, like two bags each. We just like munch on these freaking dumplings like every morning. And I think it was like day like five in China. I was like, I can't eat another Chinese dumpling again for the rest of my life. And, and literally, it was like weeks later that a thought of Chinese dumplings like was sickening to me.
Yeah, he was like, oh, every time I'd be like, oh, Brad, check out those dumplings. He's just like, oh, God, don't say anything. Gross.
You were too. You weren't as bad
as me,
but especially soon after, you were like, no.
Yeah, it was too much.
They remember when we're still in China, they'd be like, you want dumplings? Dumplings? We're like, oh.
You're like, fuck off and die.
They're the worst. Yeah, I could not eat them every day for breakfast. I know that very well.
Yeah, they're pretty gnarly.
It was an easy would you rather, but
I liked it.
Perfect. I'm glad you liked it. Well, then I have one last game, which is Fuck, Marry, Kill to round us off. It's also themed on the vacation.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, the theme is all around the world. Fuck, Marry, Kill. China, Cambodia, Thailand. China, good. Cambodia, Thailand.
Fuck, that's good. Fuck me. Okay, well, I'd marry China, I think, because China's rich.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, lots of rich Chinese. I would fuck Thailand because, I mean, it's Thailand. And then I guess I'd just have to kill Cambodia, put it out of its misery. And that war.
And that war. Have you, Josh, based on what we've told you, what would you do?
Oh, shit. I don't know enough. I don't know which ones I want to kill or. I don't know. I'm too ignorant.
That's all right. I'm going to disagree vehemently with Tyler, though. You don't want to marry China. You got to spend a lot of time with China then.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like.
You don't want to spend a lot of time with China.
China's going to be like going through your phone and like.
Yeah, yeah.
Asking where you were last night.
China's definitely going to be going through your phone.
Yeah. Stick in a GPS tracker on your car.
Yeah.
Just normal shit.
Yeah. Normal crazy girl shit.